Well, I have 6:30, so we're going to call the meeting to order. October 14th. Call to order, roll call. We are missing Supervisor Zablitsky. He is apparently on the way. We have one of our youth governors here. Chairman, committee members, supervisors. Most of you have been here before. I think right now you're a couple times. Now you haven't. So I'm going to explain this process a little bit before we start. When the county executive submits his budget, it's a budget for the year for every department in the county. It's over $200 million. It's now 200, I don't know, this year. Last year was 240 some million. Each committee looks at their budget, questions, if there are questions, on each division. So here we're going to have golf, parks, facilities, and highways that we'll be looking at. The first time that it's questioned or submitted to the full county board is at this meeting. The next time that a committee looks at it is at the Finance Committee. Finance Committee will look and see what this committee did, if we make any recommendations or changes. And then it goes to the full county board. So there's three different times that supervisors, citizens, anyone can question, look. What we hope is that the supervisors and you now as youth and governance take a look at this, and if you have anything. But there's two more chances to question. This isn't the final process, but this is where this committee, and this committee has the most knowledge of what these divisions do. So this is where, if you're a county board chairman, we have the chairman here this evening, you hope that this committee does their due diligence, and when it goes to the Finance Committee and then to the full county board, the legwork's done, the questioning's done, and it's not a 24-hour debate that evening. So what we're doing tonight is going through all those divisions, and we're going to begin here. Any other supervisors? We'll move on to citizens' comments. Any citizens' comments on any aspect of this committee's agenda would have 5 minutes to speak. The only thing we ask is that you give your name and address. Seeing no citizens here wishing to speak, citizens' comments are closed. We're going to move on to the budget. Jim?
Okay. In addition to your book, we've prepared a six-page handout, and I'd like to go in that order. I think we'll do, I think Parks is the first one, and we'll also have a little Don Gillespie's here from Kemper to answer any questions anyone might have about Kemper. And then we will do highway, then we will do golf, then we'll talk about planning and development, and then we'll talk about facilities. It's kind of going in the order. Now, the first chunk is Parks, and Parks is in your book on page budget book from 79 to 87. And I've also put a copy of that handout that you have up here for all the spectators, but I think everybody's got a copy of it anyway to look at. So I can just, this is kind of the same format we used last year. If you want to pull questions out of your book, that's fine too. But I'll just start by talking about the four major appropriation levels that we have. In each department, we have the same type of a format. First, I put the expenses up on top, personnel, contractor services, supplies, and then fixed expenses. And then we talk about the revenues. And in the case of parks, they have two categories of revenues. They got snowmobile revenue and they have parks revenue, which is the fees that they charge for people to use the parks. And then if there's a quote unquote gain or loss, that's covered by the levy. So in the case of parks, personnel expenses are going up $128,000 from 13 to 14. Everybody with me? You guys can follow this, right? Or either picked it out of your book already. Contract services expenses are going up $18,000. Supplies up $27,000. Fixed expenses down $3,600. There will be an increase in the levy in the parks area of $170,000. What makes up those increases? There's a page in your book for headcount. What we're doing with headcount, we're really taking two group leaders, one out of maintenance and one group leader, and a mechanic, and changing them from seasonal employees, where they have maybe 1,600, 1,700 hours a year, to full-time employees, where they'll have over 2,000 hours per year. And with that, they will also be receiving benefits. Now, really, there's two reasons for taking these people who are seasonal or part-time and making them full-time. The main reasons are, number one, we have to start doing some succession planning in the parks area. So we're going to take and make two group leaders into these foremen, and they're also going to reclass the two existing foremen and make them superintendents with no change in salary. And then the mechanic will also be made full-time. He's saving us a lot of money by what we used to have to send out to do. Our mechanic now does in-house. But it will result in an increase in payroll and also in the benefits for those people. Seasonal payroll account will go up a little bit. There's some additional hours for the maintenance staff. We have to do some things because of the new demands on the parks. As far as expanding space, we have Katy Park now. We've budgeted, we'll be increasing pets a little bit if that part of the budget is approved. We've just been asked to do, there's money in there for snow plowing, bike paths, and other paths in the parks. The increases in retirement expense or medical insurance expense are for full-time employees. There's an account of other professional services, which is increasing. We're going to put in a small increase for grant writing assistance. We had some in there, but we've been getting a lot of grants. I don't know how much in grants. For an example, the Pets Dam. We got $450,000 in grants, and I think it cost us, what, $500,000 to build it?
Well, it was $420,000 in the budget. Yeah, pretty well. Bridgeport, $540,000.
So it pays for us to have somebody to assist in writing grants. There's money out there, and they do a good job of writing and finding us that money. Miscellaneous contractual services. We have some semi-annual inspections that will take place in 2014. It did not take place in 2013. Other operating expenses will increase. We have increasing costs of maintaining the grounds and our equipment, and that's based on historical spending patterns, so we're going to have some increases there in the supplies expense. And our donation to Pringle is going to go up a couple thousand dollars. They have an increase in their operating expenses. Those are the highlights of the changes in the Parks Department budget from 2013 to 2014.
Hey, do you want to go on the capital then? Or I see I have a note here for the Kemper update.
Unless they have questions on this part of it?
Right. Nothing?
I'm good.
Okay.
Well, I saw your hand up, but I'm not quite seeing the I'm looking at other operating supplies. It says here, increasing cost of maintaining grounds and equipment based on historical spending patterns. I'm seeing the actual 2012 was 36.7, budgeted 48. You're projecting 53, but yet you're budgeting 70. I don't see the pattern that you're talking about.
We've been asked to increase next year by $20,000 to take care of the wildlife problem at some of the parks. Peace.
much are you, how much are you changing it for geese, just for the geese portion?
I budgeted over 22, I think it was 22,000. That's the number I was given.
And how much in the past?
Nothing.
So the big part of it is for geese?
Yeah.
Did we want to keep that a secret or something? Okay.
Not a secret, just...
Kind of on a down low?
Yes.
Is it a controversial thing, normally?
Not for me.
No.
Peter?
I don't want it to sound like I'm hiding. I just didn't want to write that down and put it in there that we'd be doing that.
Okay, then. You talked about... the people, changing people around, and I didn't quite follow that based on what I'm looking at on page 15S, which is this summary of budgeted personnel changes. Looking at public works, you're eliminating a maintenance position, it says, and you're adding two, from what I'm reading here, you're adding a mechanic and two part foremen.
If you could turn to page 80 of your budget book.
80?
Yeah.
Okay.
Going from 2013 column to the 2014 column, if you start at the top, general manager of parks operations, that's Mr. Rudy, he stays the same. We are taking two parks foremen in 2013 and changing their title to park superintendent. I don't know if that's on that other page that you were talking about.
Look at it again. Not really.
But it's just a change in title.
Yeah, but the title supposedly is changing to is...
Our one park maintenance man, which I have two of them, the one is retiring this fall. So that's probably why you see the position is eliminated.
Well, let's just keep going.
It's a remake.
Okay, it's a footnote. Okay. All right, thank you. All right, well, I mean, keep going then on that page 80.
Okay, if you go down a little further, one line, there's two new parks foremen in 2014. But then if you keep going down a little further, there's a line underneath the maintenance section where it says parks maintenance, going from two to one. That's where one of those people is being promoted to a parks foreman. They're currently a seasonal part-time person. And if you go down a little further into the seasonal section, there's a group leader there with a 1.34 that's going down to zero. That's the other seasonal person that will become one of the new parks foremen.
I'm going to throw this out there because you might get this in finance, but I mean, it seems like the trend nationally is companies are cutting their employees' hours so they don't have to put them on the health insurance. But we're adding to in this budget and putting them on health insurance. It's sort of the reverse of what the national trend is. What's the thought?
Well, these three people have enough hours in that they would have to go on it anyway.
Just from working extra hours?
They worked 1,800 hours. And that's above the cutoff for Obamacare. So we're going to have to, unless we do cut their hours, and then we lose the service, especially from someone like the mechanic.
But didn't you say they don't have health insurance? They don't qualify?
They don't have anything right now. They do not have benefits. These three people.
Even though they have enough hours?
Right now, the Obama cutoff is about 1,600 some hours, I think.
30 hours a week.
Yeah. they have more hours than that. So if they continue to work their present hours, we would have to give them benefits when Obamacare kicks in.
Or cut their hours.
Or cut their hours and lose the benefit of the service that they provide.
I just thought I'd throw that out because you might get past that.
Yeah, I was on finance. I thought about it. I don't know, John, if you want to talk a little bit more about these guys.
When the last union contract came up with Local 1090, I had 4 full-time maintenance employees. The contract negotiated in, or the union negotiated in, that if a full-time employee retired, quit, or was terminated, that position would be eliminated. So through retirements and terminations, I might be down to 1 full-time maintenance employee. What we don't have now is we're just operating with seasonal employees. We have the 1 full-time maintenance employee. The only ones that have tribal knowledge is the 1 full-time union employee and the 2 foremen. I have 8 parks, 1,400 acres, and in that, 56 buildings, and a lot of other things. I've got all the piping, the electrical, and everything else that goes with that. We need someone that's in the parks division that's going to have that knowledge. Both of my foremen that are being moved to superintendents are in their early to mid-50s. So what's going to happen here is there's going to be a day when those guys retire, and there's going to be nobody down here anymore that knows where anything is or how to do anything. It's more of a protection for the county than it is anything else in a succession plan. And my foremen all work long hours. With the seasonal employees being group leaders right now, they're basically a 9-to-5er. They work their 40 hours and they're gone. They're not back after hours like myself and Nick Murphy and Joe Ranchelo. We work long hours in the parks. Putting these guys in, they will be class AA non-reps, or non-classified, as they call it now, and will work beyond their 40 hours just like the rest of us do, and to assist with the parks. And again, we work 365 days a year, 7 days a week. So, we have to have the coverage.
Good enough. Any other questions?
Sorry. Are these supposed to be all FTEs? The chart we're just looking at, page 8?
Yes.
I think you have 1.34 as an example. I'm just from curiosity.
Is this based on the number of hours that we have for those people?
Okay.
And they do it by 2,088 hours or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. I apologize for being late. Did we go over to CIP for parks?
No.
Okay. Will we come back to that?
We haven't done it.
Okay. So we haven't gotten there yet. I thought we were moving on. That's why.
We are.
Over to CIP parks?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a lot of that.
Okay.
Any more questions on parks operations?
I have a question, if I can.
Yes.
I think I may know the answer to this, but we've got... the actual revenue, that 150 revenue, is sitting at 36.5 halfway through the year. That's just because we haven't tabulated like the golf and stuff like that.
No, golf has got nothing to do with this.
Okay, well, why do we have 36,000 in the revenue account that's 150?
We'll end up with a lot more this year. It just hasn't been booked yet.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting at with the golf thing. There's things out there
not
that we
golf,
just haven't.
Just
I know, but there's things. There's money out there that we haven't brought into the accounting.
Correct.
Where? What is it?
It's just sitting in the treasurer's clearing account, waiting to be dispersed here and there. Plus, most of the revenue in parks when you open up May.
Okay.
Yeah. So there isn't as much revenue in the first part of the year as there is in.
So it just needs to be tabulated, everything
we've
accumulated. Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Yeah, it's the concessions, it's the rentals for the
buildings. That's what I was asking. Yeah.
In 2012 was a little bit lower because we had pets closed for a lot of the year. We weren't charging revenue. So you'll see a difference in 2012. And it'll go back up again in 2013 and then into
2014. Where's he seeing 36
now? I figured it was something cyclical to be at 36 and all of a sudden you're assuming it's 150. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, Jim, let's do the capital. We'll do the capital after we do the parks.
You
want
to do capital parks?
Yes.
Okay.
And then we'll do the capital update.
All right.
Okay.
Bottom of that page, there's a breakdown of capital. There's $572,000 in capital for parks. If anybody has any questions on those, we'll just let you read it.
Yes.
I guess I'll direct it in, Mr. Rubin. In your opinion, John, I see a couple things at the bottom here. Total of $250,000. Sorry about that. You know, one is the removal of the pier down the Kemper Center, and the other is the acquisition improvements on the Highway 31 property. Can the removal of that pier wait a year, or is it vital that we get that done?
Well, what it is now is an attractive nuisance. Once it's sitting there closed,
and I realize it's a subjective answer, but
yeah.
I'm just looking at: do we really have to spend that money or capitalize that money this year, or can it wait 1 year?
And that is just the removal.
Yep.
The repair behind it is not in this because of the expense. It was $335,000 for the whole project. So we think the idea was to try and do part of it at least in 2014 and follow up in 2015 and complete the seawall.
And the GR 31, is that the property that we just talked about at the last Public Works meeting where we acquired that? So that doesn't have to necessarily be done in 2014. Not the acquisition part. It sounds like the improvements. That doesn't necessarily have to be done. Again, I know an eyesore, right?
I think what the improvements are is raising the buildings.
Sounds like an awful lot for just raising buildings.
There's
more to it than that.
No, I mean, we'd have to probably cave in the septic system, you know, pump it out and abandon it, and rip down the house and the garage and level that site, and then abandon the well as well.
Some of these items I certainly can understand from a parks perspective. A new mower, fertilizer, those are things that they just wear out.
Yeah.
I'm just I'm in the roof. On the park, I know, thank you, or this Fox River Park shop. Even last year, looked at that. Those sound like in a one-time truck. Those things will wear out, you use them up, you've got to replace them, I understand. These two, though, it's a fair amount of capital for things that I don't see as emergencies, and I'm not sure if we should spend that money for this year. And they do sound like, from a subjective standpoint, we'd like to get them done, we don't have to get them done.
But what will happen again is with those buildings, they draw people like a magnet. I mean, any abandoned building, I mean, the city, I know you see the problems the city has with them. I mean, even when they're not abandoned, sometimes you have problems. I guess it's just a matter of that we getting it and transforming it back as soon as you can to just natural land.
And I'm with you there. Is there have there been a tiered estimate on the improvement, such as raising it would be $30,000, collapse in the septic another cost, and that all added up to $130,000.
Of buying the building is $95,000.
Yep. Right. Is that in this $130,000?
Yes.
Okay, that's what $35,000
to tear it down and level
okay.
it and do everything else.
Sorry.
It costs us, the building that's next to KCAP, I think that costs like $31,000 to turn it into a green space. So we We use 35.
Thank you for clarifying. I think it's true.
Any other questions on the capital? Treasurer Noble.
Oh, okay. I've got two. What building are we removing? It says park building removal, $38,000. What building is that?
We're going to tear down the house at Fox River Park. The superintendent used to live in that house, and they'd be using it for the West End headquarters. We don't need it anymore because we have Katy Park, so that one's going down.
Okay.
Then there's also a building at Pets that the park superintendent used to live in there. And we've been using it as a daycare, renting it out and getting a little bit of revenue, but now it needs some major repairs. It's on JR, just when you come from Parkside, on the right-hand side, back in the woods.
And,
there's a house there. Across the street from the Parkside Cross Country Course, right next to that little parking lot on JR.
On the north side of the street? North side of JR? Not familiar with that.
Yeah, there's a house back in there. And it's pretty dilapidated. We're going to tear those two buildings down.
Then my comment on the Kemper Pier removal improvements, I think we need to do that sooner than later. In fact, I was up at a place we go every year for Lake Superior, and I don't know about Lake Michigan, but Lake Superior has significantly risen compared to what it was just 1 year ago today. And I've long felt that we need to do something with that pier while the water's still low. They say it's a cyclical thing as far as the level of the water, and it certainly would be less expensive to do it while the water's low than it's going to be once the water starts rising, I would think. So I think we need to do it sooner than later. In fact, we probably should do it all this year, but just to get it done is something we know we're going to have to do.
Treasurer Dodge?
Yeah, I remember this came before finance, and finance made a big issue about trying to put together enough money to get it done this year and not next year. I thought they came up with a figure of $340,000.
Yeah, it is.
We've got $120,000 here.
That's just to demolish the pier. When they were working to try and balance this, they decided to just remove the pier and the supports and then put the seawall repairs in the
okay.
For the following year budget.
Okay.
Any other questions? Supervisor Noodle?
Just one more question was answered before, but the other one is you have more for $18,000, and then down below you have more replacement, $55,000. What would be the difference between the two of them?
Those are two different machines. The first one for $18,000, that's like a 72-inch out front. That's a replacement as well for a more out more. It's just listed different. The bottom one is for a Groundsmaster 4000. That's an 11-foot wide rotary. Again, we're replacing older motors. We're not adding a motor. It's a replacement, yeah.
Anything else? Well, I'm going to explain a couple little things briefly. The Kemper Pier removal, when you look at that Kemper Pier removal improvements, what we're talking about here is the removal of the steel and the pier itself. You do have to do this under certain standards when it's removed. So there's a cost involved. Then when you go into the 300-some-thousand other figure, that was a figure that finance was working with, and it was all based on estimates on what it would take then to get the riprap back into shape where this pier was removed, or back to the standards that the DNR would approve. And that is a solid horizontal and vertical, because I've dealt with a lot of these permits. Right now, if you want to drive down there and take a look, there's a huge gap and dips there. So if we secure that shoreline in front of Kemper, that's where that added expense will come in. This cost is for the removal of the pier, and that's that. The Highway 31 property, that again is the acquisition. And when you do the acquisition, then you can let it sit, as Mr. Rudy said, or you tear it down. And what we want to do eventually, and it was in the Parks and Open Space plan, which is, you know, a 35-year plan, that is going to be part of this park property. Well, if we go to tear the house down, they don't let you just sit there and leave a septic. You also have to abandon a well. Abandoning a well is expensive. Caving it and doing a septic, getting those expense. So there's another $30,000 in demolishing, and there's even money in there in that estimate for seeding, you know, getting it back into a natural look and back to where the state will accept it. They have to have a well abandoned. You have to have the septic by the county. You know, we give those permits. That's where that goes from the 95 to 150. Anything else on the capital? Any questions? Supervisor Noble.
You know, the more I've been thinking here, the more I think we should do that, budget the full 340 and get it over with before the water level starts coming up. What would be the incremental cost increase if let's say the water by 2015 raises a foot?
If the water comes up
a foot.
I don't know. I wouldn't have any idea, Supervisor, how to calculate that.
So 340
is going to add to the degree of difficulty in the project.
Yeah, it's going to add to the cost too. Yeah. 340 is the price to do it all. I make a motion we change that to 340 and do it all. We're going to have to do it anyways. Let's do it while we know the water's still low.
For the purpose of discussion, I'll second the motion. And
go ahead.
And on the question?
Yes.
What's your position on that? What are your thoughts, Mr. Rudy?
On
doing the complete project.
If you bid it out and have one company do it all, you're going to save yourself some in mobilization costs and other things from spreading a project out over 2 different years. So I think that, again, it'd be cheaper to do it all at one time. It'd be closer to that $340,000. I think if you wait, the second phase of it will actually be a little bit more expensive, again, because the mobilization and permits and everything else that have to be pulled.
John, were the costs based on somebody else doing it or us doing it?
Oh, somebody else.
You're removing the pier?
Yeah.
Supervisor Noble?
I'd like to Mr. Gillespie's comment on that, seeing as he's the head of Kemper Center.
Well, I think, first of all, that John and his staff have, over the years, done a great job of keeping the pier in service for longer than anything. Without significant repair costs. When we looked at the repair costs, I think everybody agreed with the amount of handicap access to the lakefront that's now available in Kenosha County, that it was in that cost, which would then be ongoing every 25 to 30 years, was an unnecessary expense. I think it would be better aesthetically if it were all done at one time, especially recognizing that the investment that has been made in the bicycle path that runs along the lakefront from the north end of the campus to south of the Art Center and up to 30 would be ideal if we could have it.
Yeah, I'm still in favor of it, and the reason is we're going to have to do it in the end anyways, you know, and I really do. I don't know what a just gut feel, but I have to tell you that, and I don't know if I don't have the numbers, but you know, like I said, we go to this Lake Superior particular place every year, and I would say a year ago you had room for an entire volleyball court on this one particular beach. Now there's hardly 5 feet of beach. I don't know how much that came up, but it was like startling how much higher the water was in Lake Superior. I don't think Lake Michigan has risen yet that much, but I got to, common sense says it's not going to be too far behind it.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, maybe you can answer this. I followed, like Supervisor Dodge did, the discussions in finance, and I've listened to this discussion, and I guess I'm a little bit unclear. Is the 120 you're asking for here for the removal of the actual pier, is there going to be anything else that, I guess I'm trying to understand what else is in the water,
yeah,
based on what Supervisor Noble's asking. If the 120 takes out the steel and the concrete and removes the pier, what else is in the water that could be?
No, that's what it covers, the steel and the pier.
Okay. So the other is just to fix up what's on the land already.
The other would be, and for discussion, I mean, I'm not debating, so I'm going to. The other would be to make it a shoreline that was, you know, from side to side, bottom to top, a smooth shoreline. And if you go there now, some of you may be able to remember this, but if you go and look, there's a huge divot there where the pier is. So there's considerable amount of money. You mentioned mobilization. It would probably be two different companies, possibly not. Somebody would bid on something like this. It was a $300,000 to $400,000 project. People that do that type of shoreline work are not that many. So you run into a company that does things like the marina, what they did Kenosha, where you see 3 and 4 pieces of rock on one semi, because that's all they can haul. When they did the Racine Harbor, Kenosha Harbor. I mean, this is large equipment that's used. So when you look at the shoreline there, you look at large limestone riprap. And I've done probably 200 shorelines. Not that big, but I mean, I've done numerous shorelines. So there's few people that do it. And the mobilization is expensive. The access is expensive. And then the restoration is expensive. Because these things are not brought in from the water. So these things are brought in on semis, and then there's a crane, and then there's, if you look at the size of riprap, and Mr. Sisman knows, I mean, you're looking at something, and you all walk the shoreline down there, it's the size of this table, minimum. So that's where that expense, that $200,000 comes into. They're not going to be making like a huge profit when they do something. It's very expensive. And if you look at the size of the divot, to bring it all back horizontally, it's a pretty good sized project, but not big for what they're used to doing, you know, when they do marinas. And, so, long explanation there, but for this committee, if we go to vote on something here, I personally think that this can be kept separately. And I, at this time in our budget, wouldn't support, because another foot isn't going to affect those type of people. So I mean, that's my opinion on voting on something tonight, that we are not going to lose the shoreline if we don't do the rest of that project. The shoreline is going to stay there.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments, Supervisor Skolinski?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. If Supervisor Noble can show me an additional $250,000. And he can move it somewhere else, I would support that motion. But right now, I will not support it because I understand about the removal. Perhaps it's even a safety factor. It's certainly an aesthetic issue that needs to be addressed. May not have to be done right now, but it does need to be done. I concur with the chairman's perception that once you get the steel and concrete out of there, bring it back to level and put it in the proper riprap and whatnot. It's a project for the future, not
Any other discussion? Questions? So I think before we would approve this budget, that we'd like to hear from Mr. Gillespie on the, just briefly.
Mr. Chairman, you have a motion on the floor.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Oh, you're going to talk about this and then go back?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I apologize.
It's okay.
Sorry.
Now, this is all part of it, so.
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, professional staff, it's an honor to be here to talk to you about the Kemper Center very briefly. Jim has given me explicit instructions to not take up too much of your valuable time. I have been involved with the Kemper Center since 1996. I've served as the organization's president for just over a year now. I believe we are faithful stewards and fulfill our end of our lease agreement diligently for the citizens of Kenosha and leverage the investment we make in the Kemper Center to the greater good of the community by providing access to an historic cultural center and art center, a beautiful campus and arboretum that was recently at just last week toured by the students of Gateway in Horticulture. We enjoy our partnership and look forward to fulfilling it for years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Any questions for Don? We're pretty clear on our mission with Kemper on our capital here. So that's why I wanted to include that. So we have a motion right now on the floor to include a cost of the cost of improvements after the pier removal. The clearest I can come on that, and John, you might know better, was close to $360,000.
Was that on the CIP page, or is it split down to? Because I know we had talked about a small, once the pier was gone, about maybe building a small, like a little
patio. Correct.
Outlook as well.
CIP 65, if you look at that page.
Okay.
CIP 65.
Yeah, the only thing that's in the CIP is the removal. It was around 3. I don't remember the exact number. I could run in my office, but it was around 340 or 350 is the number I remember.
Okay.
And that all came from one estimate from
correct.
One vendor.
So the closest we could come here, possibly, Doug, if you would agree to it, would be I thought it was around $360,000. So, we're talking about the riprap and everything. Would you like to say like $240,000?
Was it one? Yeah, $240,000. Yeah. Add $240,000 to do it all.
And Supervisor Dodge, would you agree to that? As far as the second.
To add 240?
Yes, to you second.
It would be $360,000 total.
Correct.
Right. I seem to remember 340 with a number of finance.
Okay. Well,
so that's 220 then.
220.
Right.
So as a second, do you agree to that number?
Well, I seconded it for the purpose of discussion.
Right.
I know other places I'd rather see that money go.
Well, you agree to it, then we're going to vote.
All right, I'll agree to it.
Okay.
But I don't want to support it.
Any further discussion? With that, I'm going to ask to have a vote on that amendment to the capital budget. The way that amendment would read would be the Kemper Pier removal improvements and additional improvements for the riprap and shoreline to add an additional $220,000 to that amount. Any discussion on that? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chair votes no. You the governor?
No.
No. So that motion fails. So now on the total budget before you for parks, any further discussion? If not, can I have a motion for approval of that budget?
Move to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Dodge.
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Skolitsky. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Use the government?
Aye.
Okay. We will move on to highway. Thank you. Thanks, Don. Thanks for coming out.
Okay, highway budget is on page 2 of your handout. It's on page 89 through 97.
$15 employees, we all knew this, it was reported numerous times, we're going to $16.
Yeah. Also included in that category, there's an overtime increase. In 2013, we budgeted only $150,000. That was low compared to some prior years. We really had the year before that wasn't very high, so we budgeted it low in 2013. That was a mistake. We've overspent that this year, so we bumped it up to, I think the number is $195,000. Also in that category, if you're looking at the detail in your book, you add the casual and the accident, sickness, and vacation together. For both years, 2014 is actually a bit lower than 2013, so there's a small budget decrease there. The retirement is per the county given formulas. Medical is the same. And there's a workers' comp increase for the plan change. So all those seven or eight items all add up to that $113,000 change in personnel, with the salary increase and the overtime being the two largest items. No change in headcount in this department. 68 people before, 68 people now, or for next year. Contracted services decreases by $103,000. That's primarily due to, we will not be crushing gravel in 2014. Other operating, the supplies category is going up $46,000. That is the 5,200 account numbers, office equipment, maintenance. There'll be a small decrease. There are some expenses that are transferred from that to the IT department. We will have an increase in the radio maintenance expense. We have a new maintenance agreement, and then we'll have new equipment. We'll talk about that when we get to, that's happening this year, isn't it, Gary?
Yes.
Yeah, that's happening this year. Next year we'll have a maintenance for it. Underneath fixed expenses are basically flat from year to year. We will have gas and oil is pretty much flat from year to year. We really didn't change the expected price of gasoline. I believe it's $3.40 for this year. We left it pretty flat for next year. And it's that low because we don't pay some of the taxes that other people pay. It's 40 cents a gallon or something, I think, for taxes. And then I can't remember that number off the top of my head. But we've budgeted the same price per gallon and approximately the same gallons from 2013 to 2014. Signed parts and supplies, we have a small historical spending increase. But we also have some revenues which will increase to offset those. Salt, we've had a small slight increase in the price per ton. So those items contribute to that increase in the supply account. Underneath revenues, local transportation aids, just the money we get from the state to support what we spend on our local highways. We're budgeting a $75,000 increase there. State revenue will go up from 2.8 million to 2.85. All we expect to do a little bit more work for them. And our historical trend is showing an increase there too, as it is in the municipal or sundry revenues. That 500 will become 550 next year. So in total, the levy will go down about $123,000 for the highway department.
We'll ask if anybody has any questions at this point.
Just from a curiosity standpoint, what exactly is municipal sundry revenue?
That is when we do work for the town of Wheaton.
Okay. So just municipal stuff.
Yeah, and they we bill them.
Okay.
Anything else? Yes, Supervisor Dodd.
And I'm looking at our budget sheet on 93, 529,200. This is part of this discussion. Is going from 9,000 to 25,000?
Yeah, that's the account where we're having a new maintenance agreement for radio and for AVL GPS. We don't have that now, so we're going to have that next year. So that's where that goes up. There should be a payoff for having this systems put in. Should better communication, we should have less downtime, we know where the trucks are going. There's even productivity should increase to offset the cost of having this type of equipment installed.
And GPS and our equipment will know where they're at? Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
So the other thing I believe is in sundries that I should mention. Would be if Mr. Sisma's crew was doing work for other parts of the county also, correct?
Correct.
So what we're trying to do is clean up the budget process right now. And you'll see this in a couple other aspects of the budget when we go through it. Used to be this would be billed to golf when we did a card pack. Now it's going to be in Gary's budget. It's all going to be under one. Any paving we do is going to be under one budget. So if there's paving done in the parks, it's going to be under Mr. Sisma's. So the other departments naturally are going to be billed. So it's part of that sundry. So those things are going to go up. Any other questions on this part? So we could go on to capital.
Okay. Total capital after we take in the revenue that we take in would be $4.4 million or 406. There's a list of projects at the bottom of the page, of that page. There's, I don't know if you just want to, I can read them off here. You can just
do it after read.
Thank you.
I think I can anticipate a couple questions. And I'm just going to ask Gary to, because we do have, not that people are new, this is their second budget, but could you explain, Gary, local road improvements?
The local road improvement program is a state Wisconsin Department of Transportation program where we are able to do improvements on the county trunk highway system with a 50% funding reimbursement of that project. It's a biannual program. However, there's two phases that we split up into alternate years. In 2014, we will have a approximately $250,000 in state funding available for a project, as, and then we need to match that $250,000 and complete a project. Right now, we haven't made a final decision on project choice, but we're leaning towards improvements at the intersection of Highway H and Dane Station Road. Although that the solicitation period does not begin until later this fall, so we hope it will be later this fall when we make the final decision on that project.
And oddly enough, we belong to a district when they do this local. I was always really confused on this local road approval thing. We belong to the Round Lake. Is it the Round Lake?
Round Lake Beach.
Round Lake Beach. It's a federal deal. So we're grouped into that. When Gary applies, we usually do very well. And we're the Round Lake, that's the district that we, our local road improvement program goes. Any questions on capital for Gary? Or for Jeff? Supervisor Nudo was first.
The transportation infrastructure improvements, what would that be?
That is different asphalt paving projects. It includes both all of the resurfacing that we do on the county trunk highway system. It funds all of the material, which is about 80% of the cost of that of those projects, and then it also includes the labor cost for the resurfacing program on county trunk highways, and then it also includes all of the asphalt paving projects that the highway department will provide to the other divisions within Public Works.
So it's our 13 point some miles.
That's, okay.
It's yeah. The 13 the plus point, all the yeah. other divisions.
Any paving we're going to do? Supervisor Noble.
The County Highway C and County Highway H intersection, is that like engineering work, or is this actually work that's going to get started on, or what?
That's also a project that is in the local road improvement program that was budgeted for in previous years. The when the state agrees to fund 50% of those projects, they give us a sunset date of when we must complete that project. So 2014 is the year that we have to complete that project or lose the funding. It's currently in the design phase, and we'll proceed to construction next year, provided it's approved in the capital program.
Now, what's the design plan?
It's a roundabout.
Should have guessed.
Yeah. it actually lends itself very well to that particular intersection. So we've been working with the Village of Pleasant Prairie, who's been completely supportive of that plan. So we with the local municipality support, we were proceeding with that design.
What about Bain Station Road, or don't you know yet?
We're not sure about the design. It's something we have to take a look at through an evaluation process. But there's beginning to be some significant operational problems with that, with delay on Dane Station Road due to the high volumes on Highway H. And then there's historically been a fairly significant crash problem there, too, although that's not the driving force behind the project. It's really the operational issues of the intersection.
What do you mean by operational issues?
Just the delay. The people on Main Station Road, the volumes have increased significantly on Main Station Road, but they're not nearly what they are on Highway H. So they're having to sit and sit, wait, which causes people to do things that they normally wouldn't do, and therefore their crashes occur.
Okay. Supervisor Cousin.
Gary, if you mention County, yes, that's up by the airport there, right? Highway H, is that the one? Or am I thinking of something else?
The
County S and H.
S and H, and yes.
The northeast corner of the highway, or the airport, more or less?
Correct.
And the thought there is a roundabout?
No. At Highway S, the Highway S project from H to 31 is another, that's actually a federally funded project. What we would be doing in 2014 is just the engineering phase to expand Highway S from a two-lane to a four-lane highway between H and 31, and make significant improvements to the intersection at H and S.
Is it easy?
Yes.
C and H are the roundabout.
I got it. And on S, you've just taken it from H to 31, and then you've got that small segment between 94 and H, and now with this announcement, with Amazon coming in, is it worthwhile looking at the engineering? Because then it becomes four-lane, two-lane, four-lane.
The reason we had the limits end at Highway H is the amount of federal funds that were allocated to Kenosha County was not sufficient to do the entire segment to I-94. Since we applied for those funds quite some time ago before the Amazon project was known. Since that time, we are looking at alternative funding programs to complete that segment between H and I-94, possibly the use of T grants, where the state will partially fund projects involved in economic development. So, absolutely, we're definitely looking to finish it off during 94, but it's going to have to be under a different funding source.
Okay. And then one other thing is on the transportation infrastructure side, as I read the project scope and description, it just says all costs associated, and realizing it's kind of a general description because you're talking about a lot of different things. All costs associated with engineering right-of-way acquisition, construction, county trunk highway system, bike/pedestrian facilities, including infrastructure improvements as part of economic development, project costs, labor, machinery, materials, and subcontractors. Is there anywhere in here where we are able to detail out the segments of, because we cover a lot in that scope, to look at where are certain things going to be spent, or do we just traditionally go off of, this is kind of what we've been spending on our 13 miles plus of roads, and I'm just trying to better understand where capitalization is taking place.
The 13 miles of County Trunk Highway, I don't determine which roads are going to be resurfaced until the spring of the year. Pavement ratings, so the exact location of those won't be determined until next year. The balance of the funds are all allocated to specific projects. Yes, we do know where all the funding is allocated to within that transportation infrastructure improvements.
Is it in the CIP at all? Detail out all those different projects you've looked at, or is it just kind of lumped here?
It's all.
And you guys know where they are. Are those available?
Sure. Yeah.
And I apologize, you should have asked for it sooner. I thought maybe it was somewhere I wasn't finding them in the.
I don't think they're in the budget, but well, we know what they are.
Sure.
All right. And in those projects, are things detailed out as far as where the spending will take place? Highway X gets this, that, and this is what we're planning. Okay. And
for the most part, yes.
You, Jim?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Questions? Comments? Well, if not, can I have a motion to approve the, as submitted, part of the Public Works Highway budget?
I'll move to approve it.
Moved by Supervisor Nudo.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Skolitsky. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You the governor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Golf.
Page 3 of the handout, page 69 through 77.
of the book. Let's make one little, I'm just going to check the headcount here. Yeah, headcount is going up 0.43 per person. That's really not, we're not adding any bodies or anything. That's just additional hours to do maintenance in the seasonal category. Other than that, there's no headcount changes in golf. In the personnel area, they have, it's a $6,000 increase. The salary category is going up a little bit. And the temporary salary is going down a little bit. We had a reclass of the golf professional from a seasonal to a full-time. So there's just a shift. I think it's about around $7,000 or $8,000 from one category to another category. And we're going to decrease the overtime expense there. We just haven't had it this year, so we took that down just a little bit. Medical insurance is up a little bit per plan changes. Workers' comp is up a little bit per plan changes. All those five or six categories all add up to a $6,200 increase in personnel. So there's really nothing. We're not doing anything in personnel. Contracted services are going up $7,000. Golf cart maintenance is going up a little bit. That's the one item that's going up the most there. Supplies were going up $38,000. Again, I have some wildfire eradication expenses in the golf course. That's about half of that number. Our costs are going up a little bit. Our cost of sales of the items that we have to purchase is based on some history. Other operating expenses, in addition to concession stock, are going up based on our historical spending pattern, a little bit higher volume. Again, gas and oil, we kind of kept the gas price about the same on a per gallon basis, $3.40 or $3.45 a gallon, with a small volume increase. Now, to offset this, golf is a no levy item. We have to break even, so our revenues, we're budgeting to offset our expenses at $2,934,000. That's a 1.1% increase from 2013 to 2014. This budget does not reflect any changes to our food or beverage operations. We know that there's a looming RFP, and we're waiting for some instructions from administration on the next steps to do with that. It passed through legal, and they did their opinions on some things. We had done an RFP last year. We're expecting to have to do another one this year. Hopefully, we can get everything done before the season starts. But we don't know the effect of that, so we didn't put anything into this budget at all. You're all wondering how golf is doing. Golf's doing very well this year. I hate to, at the end of September, our revenues were down a little bit, but so are our expenses. In October, our revenues are up. We're almost even, despite the horrible start we had in April, we're almost even in revenues as of yesterday. I think we're about something like $30,000 or $40,000 behind last year on revenues of $2.8 million. And the expenses through the end of September were below where they were last year. So we're looking for another really good year for golf. I don't want to predict it. I don't want to really be held to anything. But as it stands right now, it's another good year.
Yeah, that's amazing. After about a six-week later start. Just amazing. Or not amazing. It's just good work.
So I don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks of October, because last October was absolutely horrible. We had a really good two first weeks of October. We can keep that trend. That's a good thing.
Tomorrow's rain.
Rain on a Tuesday is okay. Rain on a Friday, Saturday, you know this. Rain on a Friday, no. Saturday, Sunday is.
Rain on a Tuesday for me is bad.
Oh, sorry. How about rain at night on a Tuesday?
Rain at night is fine. But preferably a Saturday. I have all kind of little.
And I'll say some things about golf that I really wouldn't. I think we're doing well. We're looking favorable. I I don't want to make that a promise. I really don't want anybody to take that to the bank, but we told you this the same the other day when we talked to you, and it's, we're very hopeful.
That's really a job well done if we picked up that loss. Because, I mean, people that aren't in the outdoor business don't remember what happened this spring. We actually were like 6 weeks behind.
June 20th, really, is when it...
Yeah. And to be able to...
If someone's going to stick their neck off, let me stick mine off. I'm just kidding. We really had three good months in June, July, August.
Yeah.
They were all $500,000 months. We never had three $500,000 months in a row before.
Right.
And those are already in the can, so...
That's great. Any... before we go to capital, any questions? Towards your guests.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because all the pessimism that Chairman Hoverman was preaching to us early in the year.
You have to.
I know, you're just covering your tail, so I appreciate that we're rebounding and we're about even there. I want to touch on something that it's going to get my blood boiling if this happens. Now, the executive committee asked administration and to go out and do this RFP. Okay. Now, when I sat and I talked with you and talked with administration, it was, well, we'll get you an answer by the end of the year. Now, we might get this by the beginning of the season next year. We've had so long, that's not going to be acceptable to me, that we get it by the beginning of the season and then screw up a whole other year of doing this. So I'll just tell you right now, I'd like to see it on your agenda for November or December to get an update from administration on where that is. Okay?
No, I agree.
Because I'm not gonna do the study and have a discussion on the executive committee and ask for this to happen and then have any feet dragged on this. So, and I'm not accusing you, but I want this move forward. I don't want to go into another season and say, well, we're too late. You know, we got to push this off for another year. I want to, and I think that what we asked from the executive committee was that the net be sent out wider and a whole different scope of the RFP, and we wanted to see the RFP first. So I just don't want the feet being dragged on that, just for the record right now. So I'd like you guys to take a look at that and follow up on where it is and ask administration to come in and give you an update on that so that you can let me know in the executive committee. The last thing I'll bring up, and this has been quiet forever, so I've not been one to push for it, but how have the studies and the analysis on that red course gone? I know a couple years ago we were talking about it, and we were going to wait and see, and I believed at the time that we should keep it in place. But why don't you give me a little feedback on where that is and how that's been going?
About that.
About 20% of our rounds right now are being played on the red nine. So out of the five nines that we have, you know, and you really don't have access to the back two nines of the white and the blue, but 20% of our rounds are being played on the red nine. So, I mean, it is definitely being utilized. It's utilized all the time for, you know, maintenance and for our junior programs, which don't, all the rounds don't get recorded even on that. For all of our ladies clinics and that type of thing, those things are collected in a different way. So, I mean, it is definitely paying its due there. Plus, you know, we're hoping that, we're still going to go forward with the irrigation is definitely giving us fits out there yet. And hopefully, we're going to go forward with the blue irrigation. It's not in this budget, but hopefully for next year it'll be in that budget that we can replace that blue, because, I mean, we're getting leaks, you know. We're spending a ton of time on that, so it's definitely required to keep that open for when we're doing the irrigation work on the blue, and it's definitely paying its due.
Okay, thank you for that. I was hoping you'd give me that answer. But I would also follow up, and you know, that's, you're mentioning it's giving you fits and causing you time and expenses and stuff. You gotta make sure you keep that written down so that when you come and say this is why we need this irrigation system,
is that it's costing us this much, we got to get it done, so that, you know, all the committees that look at it can say, hey, you know, the value of money at this time is there. So,
all right, that takes care of my comments. Thank you.
Yeah, Chairman, I guess they have documented it. I mean, it's at least one full-time employee, sometimes two, and it has been for the last 4 or 5 years. The administration decided, and the county board, you know, was hesitant to do that major spending. What we were talking about was major, to do that blue one. So right now we're still doing the $100-some thousand on having people working on it 60, 80 hours a week to keep it going. And if you look on capital, the irrigation money that you see there, that's just for new heads and the installation by our own people. So if we do decide, it's going to be major to do that blue. That's why we decided a year ago, and heads prevailed on the county board, and even some of the more conservative, or some of the anti-golf, the people didn't want to see us, you know, spend money on golf. Even agreed that, you know, that red was a good idea to keep open. It's proving it now, definitely.
What is the irrigation for the blue going to cost? Does anybody have an idea?
Yeah, we have an idea.
$700,000, $800,000.
Is that going to have to be split over 2 years?
That's on the administration, you know, when they put it in the budget. We're spending over $100,000 right now repairing leaks a year.
I'm not going to dispute that it's needed, and I, you know, when you talk about putting money off till next year, that's not always the right thing to do.
Right.
Because number one, the costs go up anyway, and then number two, then you've just got a bigger nut to crack next year. So, you know, I'm not one for just spending money to spend money, but if we're going to end up doing things in the long run, you know.
I think one of the pluses is going to be, we have a track record now with our new management team at the golf courses. They're showing with less what they can do, and I think they're proving themselves, and it's going to be much easier to go to the county board and say, we need to do this, you know, than it was 4 years ago. So I'm hopeful, you know, because we need to do it. So anything else on that before we go to capital? Doug?
I thought we were on capital.
Okay, we are. No, we weren't.
Okay. Well, on capital, when is the golf course paid, the improvements to the breakdown?
15, the end of 15.
So we'll still be making payments in 2015? It's a lesser payment, though, I think. It's not a full-blown payment, isn't it? Don't know.
I'm not going to answer yes or no.
You don't know. Well, I think some of the thought
process. I can get an answer for you, though, if you'd like.
No, I think some of the thought process maybe, and I'm not positive it is, but I think it might be.
It's in the budget book. His answer is.
I'm sorry.
To try to get closer to the point where we're paid off so that we don't have any, you know, we're not double capitalizing our golf course. So we wait one more year. We bond for it at the end of the year. We basically don't have any double costing for capitalization. I haven't actually, I think that's some of the thought process there.
Thank you.
Anything else on capital? The one question people might have is golf carts. That's our first, since we moved to owning our own golf carts, that's our first redoing of a phase of the golf carts.
It's four beverage carts, three at Braindale, one at Petrified Springs, and whatever else we can fit in for $110,000.
We moved to owning our own carts, so this is, as that group is aging, we're replacing them. We're going to do this each year. Anything else on capital, Supervisor Spolitsky?
Yeah, the debt payments drop, projected in 2013, 360. 2014, 339. So it should be going down. Pay all that interest off.
I just can't remember what it is in 2015.
I'm sure. So on golf course operations, other than Dave and his whole group, deserves some significant recognition for what they've been able to do. I wish that there were just a little bit more robust times right now in the golf industry that we could reward you guys for the job you've done. The tournament operation is continually for 10 plus years been in the red and put us in the black. Put us in the black in a year here that we didn't think we were going to make due to weather and yet things turn around. So I thank you for all your efforts. My fear is we don't keep these guys for the job because of the fact that you're good and you recognize other people want you. We're hoping you'll stay with us because the turnaround has been remarkable, and I've only been really paying attention the last few years, but the stories I've heard have been significant. Once these debt payments are off, it frees that money up to be able to be invested, but that's just 2 long years from now. Jim, quick question. Any of the capitalization this year, payments towards that for next year, and maybe this year, I just don't like looking forward. Would the excess revenues be able to cover that, or is it more levy money to cover the capital improvement projects that are being proposed?
To cover the $404,000?
Yeah, I don't know what.
That's borrowing. That's all bonded money.
Okay. But to make the debt payments.
That's included up above, underneath fixed expenses.
Okay, so roughly
300, and I think it's 3.25 this year for the whole. It's
that's plus the current debt payment, right? When you say 3.25.
Okay, on this statement that we have right here, the fixed expenses, 2014 is $498,428. Mm-hmm. What's in there is the debt payment, around 300, insurance, interest, plus insurance. It's included in that number.
Okay, but that's including the 400.
Yeah.
What else do you have? So revenue from this year, what I'm getting at is, are we revenue neutral, including our capitalization payments with regards to golf operations? And I understand you're having to project because it doesn't close until December. I'm trying to make sure that we're not taking on more debt, even though I recognize these are necessary replacements.
Here, all the numbers I'm talking about will cover the $300,000 debt payment, but not the additional capital we're spending this year. This year's capital for golf is, I think it's pretty small. It's under $200,000, if I remember correctly. There's not a lot of capital. There was not very much that got approved. There was some equipment that we purchased, and then there was some irrigation heads for the blue. It was a couple $100,000.
Irrigation was like $65,000.
I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the perspective that we've got a current capitalization of that payments. And now we're adding a little bit more on top of it.
Yeah.
We're in the black. Does that now take us back into the red? Because, of course,
at the end of the day, what we really look at from a financial standpoint is the golf fund. Does that golf fund have any money left in it at the end of the year? You have a budget for operations, you have your budget for bonding, and then you borrow the bonding money.
Yep.
And at the end of the year, you look, is there any cash left in there? It's that simple.
Okay.
So there's, when you look at it like this, as this is sort of an accounting profit, but when you look at the cash flow side of it, that's the way that we in the finance department really look at it. Last year, there was some positive cash left in there. We didn't have to go into another fund. We didn't have to go to SIPSMA's fund and take money out to supplement into the golf fund. It paid for itself. We're hoping to do the same thing this year. It's close. It's not $300,000-$400,000 loss like it was in some of those other years. It can go either way depending upon how the weather goes, but it's not a horrible number.
And right now, with that 31.7 you got indicated, the 31.8, is that at the end of the year just, and I realize you're projecting, the books aren't closed, the season isn't over, is that where we would be in the black? Including all debt payments?
Yes.
Okay, so roughly then.
Yes.
What is going to happen with that 31.8? To say that that's the number, what are the plans of that money?
I think last year in the budget resolution, it said that that money could be used to supplement additional golf projects. I think that's what last year's budget resolution said. Right now, I think that money's just sitting there because we haven't done anything. And if if we had money left over this year, unless the county board tells golf administration what to do, it would probably just sit there. Because there's not an automatic mechanism to take that money and move it someplace. It's at the direction of the county board where that money goes.
Yeah, and there are essentially two operations out that are being run tremendously efficiently from the past. One is Brookside, and one's golf operations. We have money sitting there, we have staff that is probably being compensated underneath market value. We lose them and potentially we've taken many steps back. And I think the executive did a great job a few years back when we brought Dan and Dave in. And I'm wondering whether or not there is any ability for the revenue that's been earned through the efforts of that staff to be able to take some of that and compensate that as a performance bonus or something. And I realize it's fairly unpopular. It's been debated by this board before. Is it low? It's a slippery slope. Okay. If that's the case, maybe it's an area that other county employees may desire to go to work to, because there's an area here that, hey, you perform and you get rewarded. Now, this may not be, maybe it's an annual thing, but it's not we're not talking about any kind of substantial salary increases here. And I do look at the performance of the last couple of years, and it is tremendous compared to what it was. Some type of, I'm wondering, is that a motion I can make? Is that something that deserves further discussion? Have you at all talked to the executive about something like that?
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
Okay. Before.
Last year, in fact, there was a big proposal to, if there was profits, to split amongst the personnel.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right. And that would, naturally, a snapshot wasn't enough for most people, and they wanted to see a little larger
picture. Right. And so, last year's profits, is there, this year, let's just say there's some profit, and maybe some associates here, and it sits there. And yeah, we know that at least the leadership portion in golf operations is being under compensated based on market values. Their performance deserves to be recognized. And so is that a motion, Mr. Chairman, that should be made tonight, or is that a discussion for the future?
Well, that's totally up to you. I would personally tell you, I think it would be much better played at the county board than at this meeting, because any weight given by this committee to give raises to personnel here is it's not going to be weighted as heavily, or weighted as heavily as if you make the same speech at the county board.
I understand. Mr. Chair, your thoughts on that?
I was raising my hand to respond to that. I don't disagree. I think you guys have done a great job. Has there been a study done that they are actually underpaid?
No.
I mean, do we know that?
No.
Okay. See, that's if I was going to take a step back from being the chairman or being on your committee and I just was sitting there, that would be one thing I would want to know is where are they? Because the question you're going to get, which I would ask, is, well, Brookside has turned it around. Do we have an incentive program for the people at Brookside? And I think that was some of the debate that was brought up last year. What's the fairness? We have these two places. Both are overachieving. I think you would be, if I was going to give you advice, I would see how you do this year so that you can have that 2 years of coming in, with more revenue than expenses, and then at that point say, all right, we've got these funds, we know, have somebody do a little bit of research to know what the market value is to think, and I don't mean to demean whether you are or not, I don't know. I don't even hardly golf. If I do, it's a lot of divots. But, I don't know if you're overpaid or underpaid, but I think you need to have that that background if you're going to talk about that. Also, I think that, it wouldn't be a bad idea to come up with a, once a year incentive bonus of a small number, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 to the top two guys in the division. I don't see that as, well, Brookside, you can hardly do that for them. That would be a huge amount of money. But I think the people at Brookside are compensated pretty fairly to what is out there in the marketplace. And I don't know what that is here. I mean, they might be compensated, you know, fairly equal, and then I wouldn't be in support of that. So, I mean, there's a couple of questions that I would have out there before I would know whether or not to support that. But I do agree with Chairman Elverman that, you know, now is not the time, and I don't think you need to have a big debate on the board floor. You can certainly bring it up, but I think that a second year to prove a track record and then get some information on other neighboring golf courses that are of similar size and see what they're paid so that you at least have some ammunition when you go to the finance department and you say, well, this is where I came up with that.
Fair. And I have received feedback or input from a number of constituents that are a little bit more intuitive than I. But Nan, quick question, is that something that would be available through the USGA
PGA compensation surveys that are done every year, and there's also a golf course superintendent.
If you have some information about that, perhaps you just kind of guide me in the right direction.
To have those numbers would be
very absolutely helpful. I agree with you guys. I appreciate that. Other than that, I just want to make sure that I recognize David and your entire staff have done an outstanding job. We appreciate your efforts. Thank you.
Director Noble.
I could be mistaken, but I think there was some language in the budget resolution along those lines that staff could bring forward a proposal probably encompassing many of the things that Chairman Gens had just said. But there was something in the, and nobody ever came forward with anything. Maybe it's because we got such a late start and didn't think there would be anything positive out of it. But there, check it out. I'm positive there's language in there.
No, it was voted down.
No. It was voted down to actually do it.
Yes.
But we did leave language in that giving them the opportunity to bring forward a proposal, for the concept, the very concept we're again debating. So having said that, my only question is, where are we with cart paths? Are we done with cart paths at Brightdale, or we didn't?
It is in Gary's budget to do the blue next year.
Oh, it's in Gary's budget.
Yep.
That's what I was talking about, where all the paving now is going into one pass.
So we'll be finishing hopefully hole 17 on the white, and then finish up all of the blue next year.
Okay.
Gary's budget plus a couple of things.
So if there's paving at Kemper Center now, that's in Gary's. If there's paving at anywhere in the county, it's in Gary's.
Okay.
Anything else?
So, for Jim Swan this next year, could you make sure that those detailed pages are included in the book? And it would be nice to know where specifically, because we may or may not want to do certain things. Okay, and I understand it's all lumped into 13 plus miles of roadway, but also we're doing utility path or something somewhere, and the road needs it worse. Okay, thank you.
Anything else on golf? Do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Dodge.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Skolitsky. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? To the governor?
Aye.
We're going to move on to planning development. This is something new that planning development is included in this group's budget. They are still going to be in front of their own committee, which is, they use some.
Yeah, I never know what they're talking about either.
K-pad or something. Anyway, it's they use a abbreviation now.
PDEC.
Was it?
PDEC. PDEC. PDEC.
PDEC.
Yeah. Planning Development Education Extension.
Right. That's bullshit. But anyway, we're doing here is the executive has put this, under this committee. We're going to be looking at this, but the PDEC committee is also. I think most of this is for information for us.
Right.
And so we'll do this briefly, please, because we don't have a lot of knowledge on this.
What this page is, it's... this is a comparison of the 2013 PDEC budget with the 2014 PDEC budget. Now, for Supervisor Skolitsky and Dodge, when we talked about approving, we compared the entire budget as it was presented in 2013 with all the headcount in that budget book was 11. Okay, in this year's budget book, it's 5. There's 6 people who have decreased. Now, 4 of those people just went elsewhere in the county, and the other 2 actually left. One was an engineer and one was George Melcher. So the 2013 budget that you see here is the 2013 budget as if that engineer and George were there, compared to the 2014 budget without them. It's not the same one you saw the other day because that had all those other 4 people in there. So you guys know what that number is. It's a $500,000 decrease. Well, if we look and really compare more apples to apples, the same 5 people plus the 2 who left, you see this decrease here of like the $135,000. So if that's confusing to the other people, I apologize for that. But really, everything's the same from 2013 to 2014. If you, those big decreases are all mostly due to George coming out. Just personnel expenses, and there's some expense, contracted services, is a sewer pack number that they get based on the state equalized value. Our equalized value went down a tad, so the amount of money from sewer pack that we spent for that, the sewer pack is down $7,000. So there's a decrease in the expenses of $133,000. Land conservation revenue is flat. Permits are up a little bit. We're actually expecting an uptick in that activity from 13 to 14. Sale of maps is down a little bit. A lot of that income is going over to the IT department. And development review verification, that income is down $5,000. A lot of that is income from the subdivisions or developers, and there's less of that activity going down, so we'll have less income.
I think this one's pretty clear and easy. Any questions?
The levy is going down in that category.
My only question is on page 15S, and you already alluded to the fact that the main reason it's down is because we eliminated the director of planning and development. And so the director of public works will be, in effect, the director of this as well.
Right.
Where are we with a director of public works? We don't have a director of public works either, do we? I know we didn't eliminate the position, but we don't have it.
Further guess.
I had talked to Executive Cruiser about this because it's something that I think is a priority. I mean, we're putting more and more under this department, and we really need to get moving on this. He explained to me that he had the last batch that he interviewed, and it wasn't, he didn't find who he was really looking for, so he's going out again and trying to bring in some more candidates. So it's an ongoing process, and as I pushed him more, he got to the point where it was like, well, I can't really put someone in there that I don't feel is going to be able to handle this whole thing, which, you know, I'm not in a position to debate. All I know is that, you know, we're putting more and more on this, and it's making me more and more nervous. I certainly believe that everybody in their groups can do the job, but I still think you need a captain of the ship. So I just wanted to clarify, because that's been my discussion with them, and it was just last week. So that's where we are with that.
Okay, that's my only question.
And when we did hire, say, the new, I call it an engineer, that's somebody that's going to serve both departments. The theory is, yes, that they're going to be under one leadership. Any other questions of that? We have a motion to approve.
I'll move.
Moved by Supervisor Noble.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Dodge. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You the governor?
Aye.
All right. Miscellaneous. I mean, this is all pretty clear. Let's just say, does anybody have any questions on the miscellaneous page here?
Thanks, Andy.
All
right. What are we having?
Tough.
The next page in our handout here would be some of the miscellaneous stuff.
There are several small departments, Board of Adjustment, which sort of operates independently. They do zoning and things like that. Then tree planting program, pre-development, and land and water management. Those three small departments are have traditionally been a part of the P&D department or been evaluated at the same time. There's no levy increases. There's maybe a little bit of expense or a little bit of revenue changes in some of those departments, or some carryovers from prior years where we didn't spend the expense or we didn't take in the revenue, so we carry that over. But there's no effect on levy of any of these five departments.
Nor the dog park.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that people know that the dog park is not there. Fund itself, no levy.
Let's move on to facilities, right?
Okay, final page is the facilities department. This really includes a bunch of buildings and several departments. It includes what we call the Civic Center campus, which is all the buildings downtown, with the exception of the public safety building, which is its own entity. That's included in here, but we track that separately because that public safety building, we actually bill a chunk of it back to joint services and the police department. And it also these numbers also include the health human services department, which is at the job center building on the south side of town in the old Tops building. So we add all that stuff together, and this is all the expenses related to facilities for all those departments.
And this building.
Pardon me?
And this building.
This building too, and this building. The detention center also. So we have, going from the 2013 budget to the 2014 budget, overall there'll be a levy decrease of $132,000. In the personnel category, we will show a decrease of $130,000. That's mainly due to last year, or really at the end of last year, we planned for a reorganization in the facilities department. We knew there'd be some retirements coming up. And so between the facilities division and Brookside, we reorganized the custodial staff, all the maintenance staff, and have been able to save about a little over three people. And we have less chiefs. We have less, they're the head custodian for a building. We have less relief operators. We didn't fire anybody, didn't demote any people left, and we just reorganized. And there were some open slots that we didn't replace, but at the same time, we did hire a new HVAC guy and a new electrician. And all those, when we budgeted for 2013, we didn't know how fast all that would happen. So it has now happened. We are down those people. So going into 2014, we have a lower budget in dollars. And it's happened gradually over the course of 2013. So these are real savings as a result of that reorganization. We don't feel that there's been any drop-off in service to these buildings. So the facility staff has been able to accomplish keeping the same level of service with less staff and spending less money. Most of it's reflected in that personnel department. Contracted services, the largest number there is a decrease in utilities, and I think Supervisor Dodge asked me before how come everybody else is going up more. We really had a high budget as we've incurred the savings that we've had from things like the new lighting projects and some of the new HVAC equipment and things we put in. We've actually had some savings, so we're budgeting it down in 2014. That's the biggest decrease in that number there. Supplies. We had some major, in 2013, we had put in a major study to go look at our generators, our HVAC equipment.
Sure. That's a good question.
You can stop me anytime.
You just made a comment about savings from, for instance, lighting projects.
Yeah.
What is that? I suppose it is fixed, but why wouldn't that drop down to fixed expenses versus contracted service? I'm just asking.
Well, the state law requires that certain types of expenses fall into these four appropriation levels. And utilities has to be in that contract of services. One of the biggest decreases was in this. We're not going to budget as much money to do that study. We have not finished the study. We budgeted $40,000 this year. We didn't spend it all. We're going to budget $20,000 or $30,000 next year to finish it, and we'll carry over what we haven't spent this year. So that's a big decrease. We also had some major repairs budgeted in 2013 to do some tuck pointing and things to the outside of the admin building, which we're going to now turn into a real project. So we're going to have some savings in those supply type expenses going from 13 to 14. Now, fixed expenses is a little bit, we have a department at the job center. And the job center has expenses of, say, $800,000 to do their facilities, their utilities, and then they turn around and they bill out that $800,000 back to their customers. That department has to break even. In 2014, they're going to spend less, so they're going to charge less money out, which means a lower income or more expense. So that fixed number, even though it's showing an increase of expense of $112,000, it's because they're billing out less. All the expense savings are above, and all the savings in cross-chargeology are going to be fixed. It's a good thing. I don't know how else to explain it mathematically. When the top reduces and the top categories of personnel, contracting services, and supplies are all down, it means you're going to bill out less because you've incurred less expense. That happens in the job center department.
Is there where all the fixed charges come from, is the job center?
The largest, by far the largest number in there, yes. The rest of the fixed expenses is insurance expenses, which are maybe $50,000. And everything else is this cross-charge job. So at the end of the day, underneath the revenue, we're not quite incurring as much revenue from the parking structures we thought, so we budgeted that down a little bit, $5,000 for the year. For the traffic fines, our history is showing us for the last 2 years, both 13 actual and 12 actual are above that 280, so we budgeted 320 in revenues for next year. And the public safety building rent is about flat. That's what we charge back to joint services and the police department as their share of operating the public safety building. So we're going to save $132,000 in levy from facilities.
Any questions?
Why is traffic finance the one revenue of facilities?
I think because it's underneath the public, because the public safety building is underneath there.
It's that area.
Good question.
Plus, they bought a new bomb sniffing robot. You're not supposed to know that.
Of course.
That's not a bomb. A second robot.
It's a different robot.
Yeah.
Any questions on this part? So.
I got one. Okay, so we talked about the fact that the director of planning and development was eliminated. The director of public works is vacant. You're the project manager, and then now the manager of facilities maintenance is also vacant. And didn't you say everything's running pretty really smooth? Seems like maybe we don't even need a few more of these positions.
I never said that. I would never.
You said everything was running smooth.
No. Not me.
Oh, yeah.
Not because it's not running smooth. It's just because I would never make that comment. I already stuck my neck out once with golf, cautiously and optimistic.
Well, okay. Well, so we only
They're in the process of replacing Mr. Henning, if that. I know that. I don't know.
He retired.
Yeah, he retired.
So what projects then are you going to be working on in 2014, seeing as we only got one person to talk to?
All of them.
Yeah. So when I'm talking projects, now the manager of facilities maintenance, manages the daily operations, right?
Yes, he did.
You manage the projects.
There was...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I handle all major projects. Ron, with some of the smaller ones right down in the campus, he would take care of them if I would just had too many. You know, we looked at the man hours of each project.
Well, for example, this KCAB restoration project, you take charge of that one?
KCAB restoration is
Parkland Development, you do that one too?
Which line are you on?
I don't know, I'm on page 6 of his sheet.
That camp on projects, actually, you can speak to that, I think that fell in parts.
Yeah. So then you do so you don't do that one. Then you do the 60th Street tower removal?
Correct.
Okay, you do those two? Parking lot improvements, do that one.
Correct.
Plumbing modifications.
Correct.
All of them done it we would have somebody else hired.
Just to clarify, the parking lot improvements usually fell under Ron downtown. The plumbing modifications fell under Ron downtown. The steel garage or whatever.
So Ron does some of these projects, now you don't do them all.
Ron's retired.
Yeah, well, whoever's going to replace Ron.
Right.
What's
your question, Supervisor Noble?
What's the VAV boxes?
The VAV boxes are the... we ran into at the detention center where we found we put a control system in, brand new control system in. It didn't improve the function. It turned out that these VAV boxes, like for this room, actually mix cold and hot air. Get to the temperature you want, you turn the thermostat up, it makes more hot air in, and we're finding that they're coming to the end of their useful life, so to really keep the buildings not only at the right temperature, but to save energy, we need to start replacing them.
Okay.
They stand for variable air volume. I think what Jim was talking about was all of the custodian, chief custodian jobs, and then with the changing to HVAC tech. I think that's what he was talking about as far as looking at how the buildings were being kept up, seems to have balanced out.
Yes, Frank is 100% right.
Okay, thank you.
I can't probably it's been a lot of extra hours on my part to try to keep all the balls in the air. We've had to push off a few things just on the project side without Ron or without Ray Arbinger. We're keeping the critical things going on track and on.
Anything else?
Did we slide over to the Capitol then, I guess?
That's right.
Okay.
No. Any other questions before we get to some of the machinery here? Okay, you want to go to Capitol? Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, the Capitol, we kind of break up into several different chunks. First chunk, where we call facilities, they're all listed on page 58. These are capital expenditures for the Civic Center campus, downtown, KCDC, and this building. Floors, you can read them.
Well, that's the initial money we're going to spend on the planning and the restoration of that building, the 700. 5,000.
I'm sorry, the KCAB restoration?
Yeah.
That's a chunk of it. It's
going to cost 2.6 million.
Yeah.
But that's the initial investment for this year in the budget. And we all know that. If we don't, they forgot it because we've been speaking that for months.
If I may, they did the same for the courthouse, too.
Yeah. Supervisor Gans?
I have a question on the parking lot improvements for $60,000. Can you tell me what that is?
Yeah, there's a parking lot across the street just north of the public safety building, right next to the parking structure that we just put gates on. Well, there's people, and that public safety building parking lot is now being used by the people who don't want to pay their $3 a day. So we're going to take that parking lot and we're going to put gates on it and put the same security system on that we have in the other one to so our employees can park in there.
Okay.
Like
see,
used to
I had
work.
This meeting with you, and you explained this to me once, and I misunderstood. So when I said to the executive committee, well, they got to put another gate where all these people are parking and coming into our park, I got ripped because they said, they're supposed to be allowed to park in there. They pay, they park. So I got all confused. So that's why I wanted to get this explanation, and I thank you for that. So it's actually the parking lot next to it.
Right.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And it won't take us 2.5 years to do it.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
All right.
Because nobody else is involved.
Okay. I'll make that in the record.
Right.
If I may, I'm sure you're thinking the right one, but it's the one that's directly west across the street of the parking structure.
Okay. Right next to the train station.
Yes.
Right. Where the police and all those people
are.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be.
I got it.
Employees of the public safety building aren't there.
Right. Okay. Got it. Thank you for the clarification.
Okay. The restoration, parking development, 60th Street tower removal. That's very clear. That's just the removal of that tower. Pardon?
Did he start digging? You told me.
Frank?
And then we finally got the final approval from the city council on Monday. We got the permits Friday morning, and we started digging this morning.
So we weren't too many days off.
Thank you.
Well, we thought the 9th, so today is what, 14th? Beautiful. So any questions?
Sure.
Supervisor Blissett?
Parkland development, various parks, we got $369,500. And yet we had... $517,000 in capital improvements at parks. Can you kind of explain what we're doing with the $369,000 roughly?
Yeah, when we bought Katy Park, we dug in. Come back in just a second. The county has a fund called Parkland Development Fund. It used to have hundreds of thousands of dollars in it. We would take the money we got from waste management, which was $250,000 a year, and
used to
cut back to $75,000.
Yeah.
We would take that money at $250,000 each year, put it in there, and it got cut back to $75,000 last year, I believe. This year, when the opportunity came along to buy Katy Park, we had to come up with $810,000. We came up with $810,000 from that fund, and we also got a grant for $265,000 from the DNR. So the net of those two was $500,000 that came out of that Parkland Development Fund to buy Katy Park, along with some other improvements or some other expenses we had for Katy Park. We had to pay some property, real estate taxes and whatever. So we want to bond for some money to take back to replenish that fund. This is part of that money. So it has nothing to do with Frank. It's just replenishing that fund that we had to take all the money out. We also had to take some money out to finish. There was another project that came up a little short, so we had put
it's a highway project.
Yeah. We had to take some money out of there. Yeah. So this is replenishing a chunk of that money.
So the Parkland Development Fund is for parks, right?
Correct.
We did use that money to apply towards a park, whether it was buying it, improving it, whatever it
is. Yeah, right? Park, yeah.
Yep. So it was used effectively that way.
Correct.
And now we're trying to bond to replace that money. Is this bonded money specifically earmarked for any projects for the upcoming year?
No.
So it's kind of a reserve fund, if you would, if something comes up.
Yes.
So we don't need that money for something specific right now.
Not that I know of, okay. But you'd have to ask other people that same question.
So, you have one here.
Well, I can answer something.
Yeah, okay, that'd be great.
Park Run Development Fund was for that. I mean, it was a pretty broad basing. Money was hasted out of that fund for years for other purposes, and the county executive was trying to replenish hasted money. So, I mean, when we did the Ice House Trail, whatever they call it, Silver Lake, they used that money for that trail. We've used it for biking trails, we've used it for hiking trails, we've used it for so many things I lost count. And it was, you know, I say hasted, I'm joking. But I mean, if you had a fund that had some money in it, so they use it for other purposes. So what he's trying to do with this budget, he explained to me, is to replenish money that was used that really wasn't for parkland development or for parkland purchases.
That's the same explanation. I'm not trying to be...
All the examples you guys have given have been park-related expenditures, which is exactly what it was supposed to be useful. Now, if I look at the entire Department of Public Works budget, am I off a little bit saying it's about plus $35,000 or $40,000
from last
year?
Levy?
Yeah.
Levy's down $165,000. If you add everything that we talked about together here, it's down. 13 to 14, the levy is lower. Capital spending, if you add all these departments together, is up around $300,000 or $400,000.
So, I'm not opposed to adding back into the park development fund, realizing that it was used for park development purposes, which is exactly what it was earmarked for. It's not just supposed to just sit there. Although it is nice to have these reserve funds when opportunities present themselves or emergencies come up. And I was just looking at the increases and the decreases, excluding the CIP, between all the different departments. But Public Works done a tremendous job. I kind of just roughly added and subtracted it and came up with about maybe $35,000, excluding capital. Does that sound about right? PDAC decreased tremendously. Other departments, you know, went up. For instance, parks. Okay. So I just net, it was about $35,000. Does that sound about right, Jim?
It's too low.
Yeah,
because I did the same thing that you did. I didn't pass it out, but I can tell you what they are by department.
Give me a second. I'm trying to think of it.
Parks had an increase in levy. Right, you can write these down. Parks levy is up. We talked about all that.
Yep.
Parks levy is up $170,000.
Yep.
Highway levy is down $123,000. Facilities is down $132,000. Planning and development is down $135,000. We didn't really talk about 911. Their levy actually went up by $70,000.
Awesome. But that doesn't fall in here, does it?
Well, it does. It's up in there. And it was just something I was going to mention at the end because it's one account. And usually it just covers the telecommunication expenses for 911.
Yep.
And there was an increase there of 70-some thousand. AT&T is going to start charging user fees to the county for 911 usage. They didn't used to do it before. I think they did it years ago before my time. All that adds up to $164,000 worth of savings.
Hold on, you still got a question somewhere here.
No, I'm wondering whether or not we need to bond for that much money. So,
you mentioned the 911. I understand that when the 911 system went down downtown, they transferred it out to here. When they transferred it out to here, I was told that we don't have out here the ability to tell where the 911 call came from out here. Is that the expense that we're talking about to correct that?
No, no, hold on a second.
Oh, okay.
This is a telephone company charge. Telephone company is now going to charge that they didn't before. And,
okay.
And your question would belong to some safety committee, but not this committee.
Okay.
It's actually a landline charge.
Yeah.
As the number of landline lines have gone down, they're raising it from 26 or 23 cents up to like 90 cents per call. And it's something that's out of our control. I mean, AT&T is telling us we have to do it, and the State Public Safety Commission up there is saying you have to do it. So it's something that is run through Joint Services. We had a big discussion on this.
It's got nothing to do with 911. It's the only reason it's in this budget is this is a facilities charge.
All right.
Anything else? If not,
I'm going to make a motion on the Parkland Development Fund that we reduce that number to $200,000 from $369,500.
Show a second.
Which one? It's the Parkland Development Fund that we've got earmarked to add $369,000 or $369,500 to it, but we don't have any specific needs for it. It is nice to have.
Well, hold on, we don't have a second here, so help speak.
He was asking what it's for.
Who won?
I believe I heard that from you.
I don't know. Was
just
no
say that with this one.
Not for another, okay. We have a second. I mean, everybody's been sitting here. We know what we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes. Is there a second on that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Move a second. Now you can speak.
My only point to this is our overall levy is earmarked to increase approximately 1.8%. I think the Department of Public Works has done a tremendous job of controlling expenses and taking a look at areas to do things differently, be innovative. One specific example is the GPS on vehicles and be more efficient with allocating and implementing resources. And I want to commend them for doing so. On the other hand, we still have $1 million that's over and above last year's levy that I'm trying to find ways that perhaps we can take little pieces out, and I realize that this is capital, but it still requires payments on, and anywhere that we can take a look at how to reduce that number, I'm trying to take a look at doing it without replenishing some areas that have perhaps been depleted, understanding that there will be a need somewhere in the next year where, gee, we'd like to have some money to apply to this part of the park or that part of the park, but without having a specific project identified, I don't think that we need to bond for that much money. That's my point in making this motion. Thank you.
Any other discussion? With that, on the amendment to reduce the parkland development and capital projects from $369,500 to $200,000, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Doug?
I voted aye.
Okay, so that passed.
I'll make a motion.
Did Gabe vote?
Yep. Oh, I voted aye. I'll make a motion that we take the $169,500 and earmark it to put a parking lot in at the KD Park by the dam.
Second.
Okay.
So we have it earmarked as opposed to just having it out there.
Okay, I'm going to have to maybe disclose something I wasn't prepared to disclose this evening. But I've been working with some large corporations that are going to be doing some donating to Kenosha County. And that is one of the projects, along with Service Road and different things in that park. So that money will not be needed. I mean, that's as far as I want to go right now, because they don't want to be public on this yet.
And then I'll withdraw my motion. And if I had known that, I might not have voted the other way on the other one, but it's too late for that.
Move to reconsider
the vote on the $369,500 parkland development. You actually can't, because you were on the prevailing side.
Who was in the negative?
No, somebody that voted yes has to
somebody
vote.
Somebody that voted yes has to be the prevailing side. So I'll move to reconsider, given
if
the fact.
You voted no.
He voted no, but he isn't the prevailing side.
Right. So moved by, okay, Supervisor Noble to reconsider. We have a second.
Okay.
No second?
No.
Okay. All right. So.
Now, wait a second. The second doesn't have to come from the prevailing side, though, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Dodd to reconsider. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
Okay. So we are back on the floor with the.
But my whole reason for doing that was because I wanted to earmark it for something that I felt we've been debating for 2 or 3 months. And so that was my plan. And I was thinking of amending the initial motion, but I didn't think I would get the maker of the motion to go along with it, so I was going to do it in two motions, and then I found out some new information, so I'm reconsidering.
I'll move to approve the $369,500 parkland development.
Well, actually, the motion on the floor is to take the $369,500 down to $2,000.
Oh.
Okay. $200,000, excuse me.
Okay.
So that would be what we'd be voting on.
All right.
An amendment to this budget.
We're reconsidering that.
Yes. Correct. So, all those in favor of that amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
No. That amendment fails. Now, on the facilities budget, any discussion, further discussion? If not, can we have a motion to approve it as presented?
Just a quick question.
Yes.
On the reservation part, can you kind of summarize of that $700,000, what is that the waterproofing portion now? Or?
It's still the planning. Still out of the planning, yes.
A lot of
waterproofing will happen.
They broke up part of it was financial too, and I think with the courthouse they were able to with the funding over 2 years. I can get you more on this, but it's partly
I think what they're gonna do is they're gonna bond for $700,000 next year. Borrow the rest from ourselves and pay ourselves back in 2015 to do the whole project next year. I think that's how they're going to fund it. I'm not 100% sure.
Out of the general fund?
Yeah, you're going to see that in, I think that's the same type of motion they did for the court. This is before my time. And I think they did it for the public safety building, something like that also. Something where they can get alternate borrowing. Something like that. I don't know if the county just goes to Johnson Bank and borrows an extra $2 million and then pays it back out of bonding the next year. Not a, I should probably know more, but it's, they're going to put something in the budget resolution for that. And I can get the details from you from Al or Dave of exactly how it works, but I think that's what they're going to do with this project.
Okay. So we can't... Yeah, please. We need to start that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else? If not, we have a motion to approve the facilities budget as presented.
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Dodge.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Noble. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
New governor.
Aye.
Okay. Great. We're done, folks.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moving to second to adjourn. Supervisor Dodge, second, and Supervisor Noble made the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You the governor?
Aye.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thanks, Chair.
I beg of you on this golf thing. Be nice. Right down for the last day.
The
so go out and play golf.
That's right.
I don't golf. I'd be happy to go out there.